We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Very ready for the pod.
We were so
ready.
The mouse
for this
wasn't.
Pod.
Yeah, ugh, the mouse.
There's no. To be clear, there's no mice in here.
No,
there was a mouse in my parents' house recently. So,
mouse oh my god, what a
mouse in the house.
So what happened was the cat caught a mouse, but forgot to kill it.
No,
and so the cat walked in with a mouse. This was friend. This weekend, and just it, mouse got out and mouse in the house.
Wow.
He'll get to it later.
Yeah. I didn't. I'm assuming it did.
Sometimes they like to play with their food a little bit.
That was the plan, I think. So my mom thought so.
Cats are sick.
I feel like that's a little bit of what Russell Wilson was doing.
Hey!
Oh. We'll get to that in a second. First, a shout out to our presenting sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Definitely some UFC on today. Like, I'm craving just betting on things and also watching people get punched. So,
feels
like a good setup for
it's almost
me.
Like gambling's in it? No.
No, couldn't be that. But I was right about the first preseason game going over. So
you were.
Dre's
I made money
have
on
to
that.
Take a shot of Malort on Monday.
Oh, yeah. We still
that's
have Malort.
Terrible.
We do. Yeah.
Well, I thought we cleaned it out in the Azeroth.
We actually did. No, we started the fourth bottle.
Oh, okay.
On game six, and obviously no one.
Well, knowing you, you probably have your own reserve of.
I do. It's in my office right now. DNVR Broncos live, joined by my guys Hank and RG, Ryan's are taking over. We're one away from an all Ryan show.
Yeah, this is kind of bullshit, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Two Ryans one day?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
This is tough for you.
Yeah, I don't. What am I supposed to say? Like, oh, hey, Ryan, what do you think?
Well.
No, I was talking to him. Thank you.
We can go like one. We'll trade off words.
Well, oh.
We. All right, let's jump in. Broncos offense. Really dominated today. Maybe their best day. Hank, do you think this was our best day or second best day of camp?
Wow. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, it's either today or Thursday.
It's hard to remember
days. The last real padded pre- they're all the same. They're all the same. I think I'll give today the edge. You know, there's a couple. It's not even because of what the offense did. It's because you just saw Issam Bassey and Ronald Darby screw enough things up that they were just wide open passes at points.
Yeah, and I just thought that today there was less danger or maybe more danger, Russ. But it was just like there wasn't a lot of plays where you're like, oh, that was close. Or like, oh, that was a sack.
True.
And we talked about this a little bit in our video filmed by the great Ryan Green after practice. Just about like how you quantify whether Russ was sacked or not. To me, it's like you got to really get a hand on him. Or else I'm saying, I think he got out of that. But even today, there wasn't so much of like scrambling. Was he down? Was he up? What do you think, RG? Best day for the offense?
I would say so. They certainly started hot today. What I think is most encouraging is that the two best days of offensive practice have come consecutively, right? Yep. It wasn't like the defense punched back today. The offense looks like it gained steam or at least is carrying momentum through the practices.
Yeah.
And we said, don't press the panic button because the defense looks better. This is what happens in camp. The offense takes a little bit more time, and now the offense is moving, and I don't think this is going to be the last good battle. I think that this is now like real camp we've gotten into.
Yep.
All right, so then the question everyone wants to know the answer to, what did Russ cook today?
Oh, boy.
You guys are supposed to come prepared for this stuff.
A grilled chicken sandwich.
Explain.
So, first of all, it's good.
Wait, also someone commented on our YouTube the other day, like, guys, we want to hear about the Broncos, not your restaurant. And I was actually wondering, like, is this a joke and they're like in on it? Or did they actually just tune in when we were talking about what Russ cooked today? Yeah. But all they heard was us talking about food and they didn't understand the bit.
Yeah. Our chef Russ.
Yeah. I asked him to make me a grilled chicken sandwich. What'd you guys have? But yeah, no,
grilled chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
Let him explain.
It's good. It's good. First of all, it's good. And on top of that, you know, it's not like the flashiest. It's not the best. You know, there's
a fried chicken sandwich.
No, it's Russell Wilson. You think he's cooking a fried chicken sandwich on a good day? No, he would never eat one of those. Some of the throws he made, like, for example, there was the one to Jerry Jeudy who was wide open downfield. He beat Easton Bassey. It's like, yeah, good throw. He did that. That's one of the biggest plays at camp. But also, it's not like it was the most demanding throw. Like, you give him props for making the throw and the offense for doing all that.
Little off his back foot.
Yeah, true. And there was the Cortland Sutton one. That was a great throw, and you have some of that. But I do think that this was a good, healthy meal. A lot of protein in there, a lot of good stuff. And, I mean, it's not just a chicken breast. This is a grilled chicken sandwich. Like, it's pretty good, too.
All right.
So, like, mayo, maybe some Chipotle mayo?
Probably, like, I'm not going to lie, light mayo, which I hate, but it is what it is.
Jeez, man. That sounds pretty lame, to be honest.
Wow.
Like, I probably, like,
dang.
Given a couple options, I wouldn't pick that.
You don't like you don't like your grilled chicken sandwich.
It's not just,
All right. Wow. Russ was cooking meth today, guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, hot start, and then there was, I thought, a come down. Oh, all right, God. It was kind of a crash.
He's going with it. I thought you were just going to keep rolling. I was like, I'm
No, I'm trying to think. I was going to say he's like, I thought Russ was kind of like focused on the appetizers. I thought I got a lot to start. We got the Albert O down the sideline, Jeudy across
small
the
plates.
Field. Right, it was just like, just here, have some of this, have some of this. And again, I thought the defense definitely kind of gained like the move of the ball periods. I didn't think the offense was that impressive. I think, did Josh Johnson have a long pass? And I think that was about it.
I think it saved the drive maybe to Brandon Johnson.
He was making a lot.
Oh, that was the Russ one. Montrell caught the touchdown from Rippin.
Okay.
That was a different part.
Yeah. But that was red zone, I think.
There was
a
big one, yeah.
But, I was encouraged to see them just come right out of the gate, and I thought the offense was clicking immediately. So, yes. Not necessarily meth, but...
All right. I'm saying
I was
Russ...
just trying to give a more interesting answer than Hank over here.
Yes.
Russ cooked up a nice molcajete today. One of my favorite dishes
we know
out there. If you're unfamiliar with, number one thing, super temperature hot.
Okay.
And what was it today? Super fucking hot outside.
Props to the fans on the hill, man.
Early, like, thank you.
I had to stand. I had to stand. Yeah, they get to sit.
In the shade, though.
No, I'm fine for bits and pieces.
Anyways.
Yes.
Me too.
So, really hot. The way a molcajete works is they take a bowl of volcanic rock. Like a bowl made out of volcanic rock, not a regular bowl with volcanic rocks in it.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
When does it get good?
And they put it in a 500 degree oven and just let it sit there until someone orders it.
Okay.
Then once someone orders it, they bring it out. They put in like sauce, usually like green chili,
Queso?
No, but there is like a little brick of cheese that goes in there. Like chicken, chorizo. There's like a little piece of cactus, which is actually delicious, that goes in there. And the point of, and then it all just like steams and brews together in the hot bowl, creating one incredible, delicious meal. And the way that works with this today, I already mentioned the heat. But I felt like Russ was doing a little bit of everything. Like he had some short checkdowns. He had some nice out routes. He had some deep balls. He had red zone work. Like I wouldn't point to any one thing and say, this is what Russ did really well today. It was, he kind of did everything well. And so it had meat and it had cheese and it had sauce and it had all that stuff and all mended together in the volcanic bowl to create one nice dish. And I would probably say his best practice of camp.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think he also had a rushing touchdown? The fans were cheering like he did. Or would you have said he would have, he was down before
then? When was
that? I thought that was in one of the red zone.
It was kind
of
like, he might have even started rolling one way and cut back.
Yep. The refs called him down at the one.
Okay.
I would say, like, depending on the situation in a game is whether or not he gets that.
Okay.
Like, if that's fourth down with the game on the line, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
But in a normal, like, first quarter drive, right, he's probably not selling out his whole body to get that in.
Very true.
Here's another one. It was the first play of the team period. It's like a run for Javonte. He, like, bounces it out to right. And it's just one-on-one, him and Sertan.
Yeah.
And so then, like, I asked Zach, like, do you think Sertan makes that tackle? Because he was the only one there.
Oh, man. Honestly, no.
Well, like, okay.
Knowing Javonte, it's that he first contact is usually not.
I went the other way. I think he gets him.
I think Sertan may have, in a game, played it smarter and gotten him closer to the sideline to push him out because he was going out there. But yeah, but Sertan's a big guy. If he hits low, who knows?
I'm trying to remember who it was because it's on Pat's highlight reel from last year. It was the same exact situation. He was one on one with like a star running back in the flat, and it might have been Josh Jacobs, maybe. I don't know. Javonte, like, the thing is, if Javonte is being Javonte, you expect him to break the tackle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if Pat's being Pat, you expect him to make the tackle.
Exactly. That was a tough one. Because, again, like, that's another 20 yards right there if he can get through that one. There's some of those weird ones where then you get into a game and, you know, we talk all about, like, this defense is so good, it makes it hard for the offense, but that's, like, a very big, broad statement.
Yeah.
It does come down to, like, that sort of thing where it's just like, Javonte might have just taken that.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's interesting is a year ago, I would have said today was a huge day for Jerry Jeudy. But he just kind of keeps putting together days like this where it's like, it's not a huge day anymore. And that, if we were doing overreaction of the day, which I have in my notes as well, like, my overreaction of the day would be like, I think Jerry might have turned a corner. He continues to make plays all over the field, whether it's short, medium, or long. You know, the first big play of the day is him coming, again, on the over route, the Jeudy route, as I call it now. And it's just like play action. He whips across the middle. Russ finds him. You know, the zone's gotten spread out from the rest of all the routes. And Zach said the other day he thinks Jerry leads the team in receiving. And I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there too. I'm definitely getting there.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all. I mean, he keeps doing better. You know, there was still like the one-on-one. We saw one-on-ones today. Waste of time.
Yes. At least it was only like 5 minutes.
The first one, he lined up against Sertan and like throws a little inside, quick little move on his way up the field, just like a little fade route. And for a second, he gets separation, but you still see Sertan just closes that gap. And there's still the big plays for Jeudy. Like I think what was going to make or break him is just the catches away from his body. Like, is he going to go up and catch whatever? Is he going to be able to reach out across the middle and do whatever? And we just haven't seen all that much of that. That's what scares me. There. I know people will point back to, like, who did he moss? I think it was the Jets game. He mossed somebody. It's like, well, look, he can do that. And it's like, he's done that once. In 2 years. Like, you just need more of that for him to really take that step.
But that shouldn't really be his game. Now, you have to make contested catches, obviously, in the NFL. But what's going to work for him is what we're talking about here, which is just like a great route where he's coming across the field really fast, and he's just faster than whoever's guarding him, And he gets the ball in his hands. And the other thing is what he can do after he gets the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. It's the number one thing that we've missed out on as just like viewers for the last couple of years is that we have not seen Jerry Jeudy get the ball in space hardly at all.
True.
It's like he's catching it, getting hit. He's catching it,
yeah.
You know, on the sideline, whatever. Like the dude is absolutely electric with the ball in his hands. And I'm thinking this is the year that we finally start to just see him be able to put moves on people.
The last one I can remember is the one against the Raiders, the 90-yard
from
Drew Lock. That was about it. But, okay, so do you wonder if Jerry Jeudy has just been doing this and not getting the ball? Like, or are we just finally seeing him with a quarterback that knows, oh, Jerry's probably open on this route?
I think that's it. Yeah. I think he, what was the stat? Broncos receivers had the second most separation. Of any receivers in the NFL last year.
So gross.
It's definitely painful. Felt like it.
And that's crazy, especially because two of those guys are big body guys.
Yeah.
And so you just think, like, Jerry has to be getting separation. And that's what he does.
Skewing the average.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, like, the only person that he's not beating consistently is Pat Sertan. And that's because Pat Sertan is probably a top three corner in the NFL now. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So he's going to cook. Russ just has to find him, and I think Russ is learning quickly, which is why I'm starting to overreact a little bit, is like, Russ now knows Jerry's open.
Yeah.
Just got to find him. Let's move into the move the ball period there at the end. But first, give a shout-out to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you go over to DraftKings Sportsbook, where you can make a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That means you get your bet out there. And if it wins, then you just won your bet. Now you're, you know, hopefully $1,000 richer, up to $1,000 richer. Or your bet loses, and DraftKings basically gives you a mulligan for all my golfers out there. Get another try at it.
Had a lot of those yesterday.
Yes, yes. We did. Everyone had a chance to buy two. And a lot of people bought them.
One thing, you said up to $1,000 richer. You could get something that's plus 100,000. What's the max odds on DraftKings? Like 100,000?
I believe plus 100,000. But I think you can make parlays that are crazier.
That's true. I mean, you could easily turn this. It's up to like millions of dollars. Tens of millions, really.
Like, I mean, I told you the other day, I had a buddy who was one San Francisco Giants win away from turning 10 into 60,000.
Giants suck, though. Yeah. Actually, what? They're the only team that sucked more than Rockies since the All-Star break.
Really?
Fun fact, yeah.
The Rockies...
wait until they play each other.
This will tell you how much of a day I had yesterday. I went to sleep. The Rockies were up 5-2. I woke up. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. But that tells you...
Should have never woke up.
I went to like 9. I went to sleep at like 9:30 yesterday. We started the tournament at 7:30. Got there at 6:30. And then... we were so hot, we're like, let's go to the pool. So then we went to the pool and kept the party going. And, tapped out at 9:30.
So washed.
Anyways, DraftKings Sportsbook, get in on it. And get in on that risk-free bet up to $1,000 when you use the code DNVR at sign up. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
And get in on the American Raptors and rugby in general. Because out at Infinity Park in Glendale, starting August 19th and running through that whole weekend, Infinity Park is hosting the 10th annual Rugby Town Sevens tournament. It's an awesome weekend. It's exciting. It's action-packed, all that sort of stuff. There's a free arcade. There's food and food trucks and all that. And there's 20 rugby teams from all over the world who are competing to take home a $10,000 prize. If you go to rugbytownsevens.com, you can get tickets and information.
There you go.
Infinity Park's dope.
Yes. RG, what's your favorite Breckenridge brew?
Oh man! Right now it's the Avalanche, the
Amber.
Amber. That's right. I was gonna say ale, but yeah. I mean, I just started drinking it. Yeah, I was just drinking it a lot at the end of June there, and I've just kept drinking it. So yeah, but
hell yeah,
there's a lot.
Yeah, I've been on the Palisade Peach Light kick recently. I've been on a peach kick recently, just in life. I had the peach milkshake from Chick-fil-A the other day.
How was it?
It was so good. It was so good.
I'm a big peach fan. I got to try that.
Really? I like bananas better.
What? That's, okay.
What is that's like, there's no relation between
sure
the
there's
two.
There's some symbolism.
No, they're both fruits.
Yeah, I mean, but like, we're not saying it's our favorite fruit.
No, but just like, You're talking about peaches. I like bananas better.
All right. Do you like what about peaches or nectarines?
Still bananas. But did you know that a banana will add 12 minutes onto your life if you eat it?
That's not true.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
It was on the internet. I told Dre all about it. Wow. He was hyped.
So I could be like,
the world does not need that much, Andre.
And yeah. All I have to do is just keep eating bananas?
Exactly. There's but no don't ways. Eat hot dogs. That takes 23 minutes off.
You only
off.
Have 12 seconds to finish each banana.
I can do it. I've got a head start. I've had a lot. So
yeah, that is true.
You ever seen that movie with Justin Timberlake where like everyone has a clock on their arm?
And in like, time.
When it hits zero, that's when you die. So he should have just been crushing bananas.
Yeah, that's what's just missing like, from that movie.
Yes, the banana complex.
That concept does kind of make sense, though. Like, what if we did just, like, pay in time? No. Well, just, like, everything boils down to time, you know?
Honestly, if you think hard enough, we really do.
Wow.
Yeah.
There it is.
Actually, no, I can't think that hard.
Okay, all right. Well,
I'll try it later.
Anyways, Breckenridge Brewery, Palisade Peach Light, Avalanche Amber Ale, Strawberry Sky. It's all good. Ooh. Strawberry Sky mixed with Palisade Peach might be fire. Might be like a little, you could call it like a smoothie.
You're a big beer, it would still be beer. You're a big beer mixer.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
thing. I like just mixing things. Like when I'm like cooking at home, I'm like, I'm going to make a sauce. And then I just mix some shit together. And
you were the
like,
kid that put all the sodas in?
Oh, 100%. Okay, 100%. Yeah. Yep.
When you get like Chinese food, you just dump it all together?
No, I'm not mixing.
What? Foods. That feels like the one. You put like eggs on your pancakes in the morning.
I do like a little bit of like a bite of egg with a bite of pancake with some syrup.
Yeah, I'm against that.
Guys, we don't want to hear about your restaurant, okay?
Oh, yeah.
No, damn, that's right.
All right, let's jump back in here. I felt like practice was capped off nicely for the offense, and this is the second day in a row now. Last time it was the touchdown, which would have been a good case for if you were saying that practice was better for the offense. They were able to get the game-winning touchdown at the end of it, but if you remember, right before they get that, they almost had the interception to Jonas Griffith, which goes into today why I just feel like today was like really clinical.
Yep.
Not a lot of risks, not a lot of, you know, big scary moments for the offense, but there's about a minute 40 on the clock. They get the ball at the 25, and it's the end of the half rather than the end of the game. Got to drive down and get a field goal. This is a situation that they failed earlier in camp, and I like that Hackett goes back to it now that they've got a little rhythm. Couple nice completions early to start the drive, but they are left with third and five, and there's an interesting pattern developing here. Defense sends pressure. That's a pattern on third and five. Russ throws the nine route. That is a pattern with pressure in his face. And it's exactly what I talked about the other day when he threw it to Sutton on that fourth and five, which is like, it's the easiest throw to throw against pressure because you don't have to worry about like getting it over the line. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about seeing anything really. It's just, you don't have to wait for anything to develop either. It's just throw it up, hope the receiver finds it. This one, was it Bassie in coverage? Is that why you keep mentioning him?
I think that one was Darby.
That's even worse. Darby in coverage of Brandon Johnson just absolutely smoked. Honestly, lucky it wasn't a touchdown. But Russ off the back foot, throws it up there, and drops it perfectly in for Brandon Johnson. Gets about 35, gets him into field goal range. They are able to move down a little bit closer to scoring a touchdown. I think they take one shot to Andrew Beck in the back of the end zone. Russ maybe would have killed a kid based on how hard he threw it, but yeah. Andrew Beck got a hand on it on the back of the end zone. As soon as it left his hand, I was like, "Yo, dear Lord, someone touched this before it hits the crowd."
Was Darby who got beat.
That's tough.
I know.
By Brandon Johnson.
Yep.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Brandon Johnson in a second. But yeah, they take one shot at the end zone, don't get it, kick the field goal to get three going into the half, make it a 3-0 ball game. Again, let's hope we don't have to see that in real life. But yeah, just another one that was like a clutch play from Russ, that third down conversion.
Totally. But I also, I mean, is that sustainable? Like, we've seen two fourth downs in these situations, and both of them are just deep balls. And Brandon Johnson was open. Cortland Sutton is Cortland Sutton, so he doesn't need to be. Oh, both of those against Darby.
Uh-oh.
But we're not going down that road right now. We're not going down that road right now. It does seem like chuck it on fourth and short to medium. Maybe not an every time strategy.
Yeah. I would also think that despite Russ taking those shots, if pressure's coming on third and five, a Judy slant would seem to be always open as well, right? Like, and like just 1-2 out. But like you said, there's a chance people get their hands up and it's an easy throw if you just lob it.
That's something they're telling those linebackers too. If they're sending them up the middle, it's just like, if you're not there, you better jump.
Yep.
But knowing Russ, it may just be personnel, right? Like if he sees that Cortland is on someone who Cortland should easily beat, that should be a toss up. So, but again, I like seeing the ball go down the field because we just haven't seen it yet. Even if it's practice, sure, go practice jumping over a guy. Go try and moss him, you know? Who cares?
Yeah. It's unfortunate that Tim's not a part of this equation because you could do this a lot more. Like, that was probably Brandon Johnson and Tim Patrick's spot today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you just imagine, like, Russ looks out there, and for the Broncos defense, unfortunately, it's Darby, but he would just be saying, like, okay, which guy has the matchup? You know, it's like, you're not going to throw on Sertan.
Right.
Nope.
So you look, they're probably bringing pressure. I want to give one of my guys a chance. I'm going to look over. I'm going to see Tim Patrick, which is the same thing he did today. He'd rather have Brandon Johnson against Ron Darby than Cortland Sutton against Pat Sertan, which I think is the right decision for him. Yep. But it is a bummer just thinking, like, now knowing that this is kind of a part of what Russ likes to do in these moments, it's a bummer that you don't have another guy out there who can go jump over people.
Definitely. And I do think now might be the time just to say Darby did not have a great day. And he's had a really good camp to this point, but he did get beat a few times today, which, again, is a good thing. Like, you want to see that back and forth.
True. And again, if he's not throwing at Pat Sertan, Darby's seeing it twice as much, right? Like, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. We may just be seeing Darby a lot more because that's what, you know, is going to happen when Pat Sertan is on the field.
It's basically like if Russ is going to have a good day, Darby has to have a bad day.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, tough for him, but, you know, that means something's working somewhere.
And more concerning to me is that Isang Bassey has had another bad day. And that's kind of been a string of them.
It's not that concerning in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, it's concerning if you just like Isang Bassey.
I mean, but
I think he may have just been a camp darling that one year. That's why.
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe we're seeing
he's been out there in Kawan Williams' spot.
That's fair.
And if Kawan Williams isn't good to go, he was the plan B. And now I think it might be time to see what plan C is.
Okay. What is plan C?
Chaos.
Damari Mathis.
Mathis?
It should be.
Rookie? All right.
They just haven't used him in the slot all that much.
Well, maybe
that's so, but yeah, right. He has put awesome, himself in man. Position to know, at I'm least getting, give it a run, even if that's not what he's best.
He's one of the players I'm silently getting like, oh, this guy could be.
I'm like, I would put him in a Montrell Washington-esque tier just for the defense. Totally. Like every day making plays.
Analogy.
The only difference is like Montrells have just been louder.
Yeah.
Because it's offense. That's the point, you know, like that's his role is to make loud plays. But Damari, I feel like on a daily basis is making just sound defensive plays, like great coverage, pass breakups, diving interceptions, all that stuff.
Totally. But the Broncos seem to think that he's better outside, but like if the snaps are in the secondary right now are open in the slot, he has earned an opportunity to prove that he can handle those.
Caden Stearns is also
definitely
played in that role a little
bit. He was back in practice today.
Yep.
As was... Really put myself in a bind there. Not DJ Jones, still gone.
I didn't see him at all.
Moody was not out there. He's having his knee checked on. Well, he was out there. He just wasn't. He was just wearing a hat.
I saw Moody.
Who's the other one who has been missing? Kendall Hinton, of course. Kendall Hinton was back out there. And he had a nice, like, he had what? It was like a 15-yard out route?
Yep.
Well, and other than Brandon Johnson, he was running with the ones. Like, he was the third receiver.
Trey Quinn got in there a bit, too.
Yeah.
Again.
Trey Quinn's another guy. Is like you don't mention him enough, but every time he's out there, he's making plays, and every time he's out there, the quarterbacks are looking for him
because they
trust him. Yeah.
I didn't see what happened, but Sutton was out for a few plays too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Getting a foot ankle looked at.
But he came back and he had a touchdown or so. Okay, so
he was fine.
I was just noticing. I was like, Cardinal's not going in, but.
Speaking of Sutton and that touchdown. We talked about this a little bit in the video as well, but I thought this was a perfect example of the chemistry building between Russ and his receivers. They bring a blitz off the right side, and Josie just like dives into the right side of the line right as they snap the ball. They all shift over and slide completely away from McTelvin Ajeem, who has nobody blocking him, and he gets a free run at Russ, but Russ just so, what's the word I'm looking
collected?
For?
Collected.
Heady. Just knows that that blitz came from Josie's spot. So that spot's completely open. There's no one between Cortland and the ball. And just jumps off his back foot, lobs it to where Cortland is supposed to be. Cortland whips his head around out of his break. Boom, hits him right in the numbers. All he has to do is wrap his arms around it for a touchdown. And it's just like, those are the things that Russ can do that a lot of the guys who have been in here can't do. And you also can't do unless you trust your receiver.
Yes.
And if you know what you're looking at. Like, he knew, they always, you know, classic football guyism, like throw into the blitz.
Totally.
If that spot is being vacated because it was there's a blitzer, it means there's no one there. Yeah. So just throw it up and give your, you know, your receiver a chance.
And that's, again, that's probably also repetitions just in practice, right? Like, that's what we were saying when the offense was slow to start this camp. We were like, well, yeah, they just haven't been doing it together for a long time. Yeah. So now we're seeing that. There was also another one, and Hank, I don't know if you saw it, or RK, I don't know if you saw it, but when they came down and were near the media, Russ had a short pass to Jerry Jeudy, and I thought the first time Jerry Jeudy saw that pass is when it literally hit him in the side. I thought it like almost glued to it, and that was just wild to see. So it's like, yeah, Russ is like, all right, here. He's just trusting it.
And that was another one where that guy was about to kill Russ.
Yeah.
And in a real game, he probably still does put him on his back, and Josie was sitting, he was like a step behind Jerry, and he might have been getting hit there too. That was another play. It just felt like,
whoa,
it might have been chaos in a real game.
Speaking of Russ's accuracy, they've got a new drill that they've been doing the last 2 days with a big old like net, and I would say a ring twice the size of a basketball hoop.
I would say, I would compare what they were doing to like half court shots.
Yes, essentially, but a little bit bigger cylinder with a net attached to it that they put down at the goal line. They've been throwing at it from 40 yards away, and I'm keeping track of the scoreboard. The score is Brett Rypien 1, everyone else 0, except for Brandon McManus also has one, but he took like 40 throws at it. All the other guys only get like 3 tries.
Cortland tried too.
Yes, Cortland is also not on the board. Russ has hit the rim twice.
He hit the base a few times.
He's getting close, but Brett Rypien has the lead there. And while we're talking about Brett Rypien, to me, he has been quite clearly the better of the backup quarterbacks.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if that was just me, but yeah, he has been steady. It looks like he is not a seasoned vet, but he has clearly played some NFL, you know, or had some NFL experience. But I am really kind of underwhelmed by Josh Johnson. I was expecting more of a veteran who kind of, like Russ, knows, like, okay, if that blitz is coming, you know, and there's, I know this is going to feed into like, oh, they're keeping ripping and getting rid of Josh. I still don't believe that. I think Josh is on the team. But I agree with you. I just think Brett's been having the better camp.
Yeah, and I've always felt like Josh Johnson was brought in for a reason.
Russ,
yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, you give him another, you know, veteran in there, and like maybe those guys are buddies, I don't know. But it always felt like he was kind of being brought in to be like Russ's caddy, is the way I put it.
That's that's fair.
With that being said, like, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, football decisions are sometimes political. Like, it's not all based on merit.
Yeah.
If it was, I think you would see Brett Rypien get the first series against the Cowboys next weekend after Russ comes out, and I doubt that happens.
Yeah. At the same time, though, I mean, what is this? This is 5 starts in the last 13 NFL seasons for Josh Johnson.
Right, that's fair. That's a fair point.
So it's like it's not like there's a lot that you look at.
Right?
Like,
yeah, okay.
Brett Rypien's undefeated in his life.
It's true.
In his NFL career.
Yeah.
He gave Jeudy the Moss.
Who knows what they're looking for? It's true. Who knows what they're looking for? But like Josh Johnson, he's not like a proven vet. He's more just
a vet.
A vet.
He's a genius is what he is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Just collect checks.
Chase Daniel.
To be just good enough to not be a starter. And good enough that teams like, oh, if our starter goes down, we would like this guy on our team.
Based on almost nothing.
I think he's done, like, in the games he came in last year, he did decent. So
yeah,
he's a fun guy too,
for sure. Let's see, what else do I have here? I thought the running game, which is something that we rarely mention in training camp, and it's just so hard without tackling, but it looks pretty solid today. A couple big sweeps. Javonte had that one run that you talked about. Max Borgi, definitely worth mentioning, like as like a dark horse candidate of the day. Four, maybe five good runs from him.
In a touchdown.
And one of them was a touchdown, which Cameron Fleming had like a funny moment on it. It ended up being like definitely his best play that I've seen maybe ever. But he's running out on like a, you know, the big sweep block. So everyone's getting out there running. And he's like almost ready just like for the play to be over, like slowing down for sure. And then I can't remember who it was. I want to say like 43 or something is just shooting across trying to get to Max Borgi, and he notices at the last second and just drops his shoulder into it. Just like,
let's go.
Guy goes flying, and Max Borgi walks into the end zone. But, yeah, I mean, Borgi looks like he belongs out there. I can say that about him.
It's been interesting. I mean, he got that edge on his first run today and was running up the sideline for, like, a solid game, 15 yards, maybe something like that. And, you know, for him, it's like a question of what do you do? It's like you can catch footballs. You're also like throwing the ball a lot, so that kind of plays into it. That play made me think like, okay, it's not like he's so slow he can't get the edge.
Right.
Like it is possible for him, and now that kind of opens things up. You know, I think the other run that stands out to me, I couldn't see that one down by the goal line just because of the way things are set up there. But I'm happy for you. There's the like a trap run or something up the middle. I don't think it was a trap one, but there's just like this big hole and he kind of cuts back and kind of bounces aside. And again, you don't have a great idea, but that looks like one where maybe he bounced a little bit too far outside. And for him to actually stick, he needs to be able to just put his head down and finish runs, because that's something that he was just unwilling to do when he was in college. You know, he was like a pure kind of finesse player who was always trying to juke, always trying to get the edge. He's dodging contact. Like, if you're going to make this work, you've got to be able to take that step. And again, like, that might have been the right call. It just seemed like from my angle, that's when you just go forward and get what you can get there. But he's on his path.
Speaking of Borgi, Yaya, can you bring up the tweet that we have today? I just want to congratulate Henry here. Give him a little round of applause. He has officially dethroned Zach for the Mike Kliss tweet of the day.
Yes. What did he do? There were two this weekend that I thought of. But was it just today?
I sent it to you on Slack.
Yeah, but he sent it to me, not to Kale.
Well, now I... That's why I sent it to you, because you're the producer.
No, yeah. He's saying Kale's logged in, and that's why he can't see it. Should have sent it to Kale.
Why do we do that?
Then you should have taken it from your account, sent it to Kale, so it would have been ready. Well, see, the whole thing.
While he's looking, Mike Boone had a long run too, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
We got it.
Melvin's running well too. Every time he
Melvin
gets the ball,
has looked really good.
You're just
big, right? Like bigger than. I mean, I know he's a big back, but even this year, I'm like, he's big.
Yes. Okay. Like, you see him come through the hole, like, especially because when you're downfield level, you're just like, oh, what's happening back there? What's happening? Then bang, it's like, there's massive Melvin Gordon, like a freight train coming through the middle of the line. You're just like, ah, that's a good football player. It was actually after one of his runs, I looked over at like Zach and the guys, and I was just like, you got to be like kind of psycho to play running back. Like, just to be willing to be like, yeah, I'm going to put my head down and just take this beating. Because, like, receiver, like, if you're just good at receiver, it's like, yeah, just go play some receiver. If you're good at running back, like, you also have to be just a little bit insane to go do that.
All right, here we go. Henry, taking the throne from Zach for the Mike Kliss tweet of the day. It just says, Max Borgi got to the edge for a nice game. We got to do better than this.
That's a good one.
Wow.
We got to have, like, some sort of emphasis. Maybe a little analysis.
That was the.
You're just
good.
Tweeting out plays.
He did it. He got to the edge for a nice gain. Keep that in the back of your mind.
What's a nice gain?
What were the numbers on that? Yeah.
It was somewhere between like 8 and 20. I couldn't see where they snapped.
I think that's
where
the number of likes
down.
You had too, between 8 and 20.
Three likes. Let's go. That's the problem here. It's like, because you didn't add any emphasis or like,
oh my goodness,
like a capital letter or like a caps,
an exclamation point for the love of God. Point.
Like that's the one thing that Zach Stevens has mastered. He's like, if I'm just one notch more excited about this than everyone else, my tweet will do better numbers.
Okay.
Man, boy.
I'm batting like 300 getting to double digit likes.
Okay.
That was my rate today.
Okay.
It is funny the way it builds when you first start like covering a new team. So make everyone go follow Henry. There's Please. Thousands and thousands of people listening Unlike to this. Tweets. We can definitely get his average up.
There are some other tweets. As long as the tweets are. See, like, I tweeted, football is back and I love it.
That's
what I thought we were going here.
Was that about
24 likes.
Practice or was that about the Hall of Fame game?
That was about the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, okay.
No one gets excited about that except for me when Kyle Sloter leaves a over winning drive.
Kyle Sloter.
That was great.
It was a
nice toss too out to the flat for the touchdown. Where's almost got picked. Tweet? Not touchdown.
So good.
Okay. What else did we have? There's something. One more thing I wanted to get to. Oh, dark horse of the day for sure is Brandon Johnson. Hank, what can you tell us about Brandon Johnson?
Undrafted free agent from UCF. He turned 24 on July 24th.
Okay.
No. That's my grandma's birthday.
Yes, classic mix up between your grandma and Brandon Johnson. I saw you had him pulled up.
You were supposed to spoil that. That's supposed to sound like it was from deep inside.
It sounded like it was wrong.
July 26th. Damn it.
Because when I look up stats, the birthday is the first thing I look.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's an impressive poll. It's 1 in 365.
You were wrong, though.
Okay, it was really... So the three-day span, it's like 1 in 122. But the Brandon Johnson, he's big, he's fast. He's like 6'2", 190 or something. Gets downfield like a good Tim Patrick replacement. I think with Patrick out and with Tyree Cleveland out, that's really why he gets some of those reps out there with Seth Williams. And Trey Quinn, too. You know, he's mostly playing outside, which is interesting because he's a lot smaller than those guys.
Yes, he is. Yeah, Brandon Johnson kind of stood out early in camp. And I was like, who's this guy? Mm-hmm. And then disappeared for a while. And I actually at first was like, is he a small tight end or a big wide receiver? Like, he is kind of like bulky in that way. And then kind of disappeared for a little bit. And then I think in these last couple of days, as he's gotten a newfound opportunity, he's really cherished it. Not only did he have the big catch from Russ on third down, but Russ went right back to him, I believe, on the very next play on like an out for five. Mm-hmm. Good hands, strong hands. And a candidate for that position.
Definitely. I mean, I still think... So you got your big three. Then you've got...
Montrell.
Kendall Hinton. Montrell.
So you really have four locked in. They've got Hinton. You've got Cleveland. You've got Seth Williams, Brandon Johnson, Trey Quinn. Like, that competition is just... Fierce. Wild right now.
Doesn't I know people are were maybe most excited about Seth Williams when it came to all these options. It hasn't been there.
I know.
Who has all of a sudden stepped up though is Travis Fulgham, another guy that I've been noticing in the last 2 days, which he could not have been more invisible in the first 8 days of camp, and then he just all of a sudden in the last couple have been like, oh
yeah,
that does look like a guy who had three straight 100 yard games in the NFL.
Yeah. And then Kendall Hinton, like, he did almost nothing, missed a few practices, had a nice catch today. Like, it really feels like that competition is kind of just starting to get going now. And like anything could happen there. Seth Williams, like, you just go back to him tearing Derek Stingley apart in, I think that was in Stingley's best season too. No, that was in 2020, but still, like, it's just so hard to think that he won't be good after you go back and watch that.
Absolutely. Before we move on, want to give a shout out to Athletic Greens. Got to get that AG glow in the morning. You're thinking like, wow, RK, he looks so tan and golden. It must be because he's sitting on the hill every day at Broncos training camp. No. Well, that is part of it. The other part is just the healthiness that you get from that Athletic Greens in the morning. Start your morning with some Athletic Greens. Get all sorts of things, including adaptogens, which Hank knows what those are. And what are they, Hank?
They're what have powered adaptation and evolution for the last millions of years.
So yeah.
That's how we came out of the trees. That's all that stuff. It's because they push you forward. You want more of them so that when you continue to adapt... Like, if people wind up with horns, you won't be at the forefront. Adaptogens.
Some would say they do. Some do have horns.
My ex.
So, anyway.
I get it now.
Anyways, yeah, you could say that if it weren't for Athletic Greens, we'd all be still be cavemen. It's basically what it all comes
down
to.
That's what I believe.
Cavemen without a good glow. So get your Athletic Greens and go to athleticgreens.com/Broncos, I'm pretty sure. That is correct. To get your Athletic Greens and get a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
And we want to give a big, big shout out so big to DraftKings Sportsbook. Didn't Again, we already do that?
We did. That must mean we missed
Breckenridge,
one of the first.
American Raptors, DraftKings, Athletic Greens. Oh, us?
Yeah, we haven't given a shout out to
us.
Yeah.
Shout out to us. A big
shout out. Now remember,
shout-out.
People don't want to hear about a restaurant. They just want to hear about the Broncos.
We're not going to talk about that, but you guys know. Tailgate season's almost here.
Yes.
We're about to get That's into this, so I assume, dope. In the comments.
It's going to be so dope.
Cornhole boards.
Yes, we'll save it.
Okay, then where do I go from here?
By the way, it's a good time to mention we will be having a tailgate for the preseason game next week.
Let's go.
On Saturday.
So next Saturday, preseason, tailgate. Mm-hmm. We're getting it started. We're taking tailgates to the next level. For the regular season, and we're already going to be taking them to the next level for the preseason.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not full on, like preseason for everyone, you know.
We'll take
them
to the next level and then another level
after.
But
yeah, there's probably two more levels that we can hit.
What do you think of the primetime ones?
Oh, gosh. Three more levels that we can hit.
Oh, shit. And then postseason?
Oh, my God. Four more levels that we can hit. Oh, so, yeah, tailgates are going to be lit, and keep an eye out because we'll be putting tickets on sale for the preseason tailgate. And it will be nothing like last year, honestly. It's going to be a whole other experience.
Still beer, though.
It will have that in common.
That's most important.
All you can drink, beer.
And cornhole.
That's not a challenge.
Ooh.
It is now.
I can't go all you can drink anymore.
Why?
Member of the media.
Because work.
Oh,
I've got to be able
really
to walk straight.
Suck for you.
I know.
But you chose this.
I did choose that path.
Like, I'll take half the home games if you want to go, like, because his family has tickets. He's like, no, I'm going all in, dude.
I feel like you can't be the Broncos beat reporter who doesn't go to all the games, you know?
That's how I feel.
That's a very traditional way of thinking for you.
You think you'd be a Henry, not a Ryan?
No.
You think I'd be a Ryan and he'd be a Henry?
Dude, you have R, Y, and N in your name. R-Y-N. You're that close.
Oh,
that is
so
pretty crazy,
us,
huh?
Man, you got to try a little harder, and then maybe you can
be
Ryan.
Ryan with an E.
Ryan.
Do you have all the letters of Owen? Yeah, you do.
Except the W.
Oh.
You can do O-H. Owen.
I was thinking Henwe.
That's me. I'm Henwe.
Henwe. All right. Let's jump into these comments here. And the first one... comes in
shit.
From the internet on the super chat.
Love the internet.
Who we got?
Holden Jenkins with 199. Judy is going to be a great in space this year.
Great job. I love when people quote themselves in their super chats.
I know.
And then we got Maurice Jackson, just wanted 499. Just wanted to say that was me who yelled RK outside the gates this morning. Love the show.
Oh hell yeah! I love people yelling my name. Just
wow.
Big fan of that in general.
Wow.
And yeah, I was walking in, RK, you know, wow. I say what up. I also enjoy when people come up and talk to us. Someone like DM'd us and was like, sorry, I didn't realize you guys were like working when I came and said, I'm like, no, we don't care.
So what? Dude, one of the Broncos coaches was like, yo, RG. He was talking to Randy Gregory, but you know.
And then you said, well, down on the autograph line, a lot of people were giving shout-outs.
Actually, yes. And I didn't get the RG treatment, but people did say DNVR. They knew it was DNVR, and they knew I was shooting the spotlight as well.
And you're not wearing
really
a DNVR
cool.
shirt.
I know. I was also cool. I was like, how'd you know?
When
people are actually watching.
When my ego's feeling like a little low, I just wear a DNVR shirt to like ensure more people will recognize me.
Just needs to hear that name shouted.
When does that happen? That your ego gets a little low?
One example would be when you beat me in Madden the other night.
Oh shit.
Got really lucky.
Good for you.
Did you lose to Ravens?
I didn't. So I was waiting for him to hit me up, and then it turns out he had been on vacation. So the game got simulated. and I lost the simulation.
Oh, that's so big for me.
I know it is. And that means I'm now the 7th seed in the NFC.
Well, you still have another chance because I have to play 49ers in week 18.
He's so weak.
Wow.
I got to start the shit talk before the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
That's also, $4.99 from Derek D. Herrera. No comment, just $4.99.
Derek, if you...
My guy.
If you meant to leave a comment, just leave it later and Yaya will get it. Well, probably. Yaya didn't charge the mouse, didn't have the tweet prepared, so there's no guarantees, but...
It's Pit Saturday. Just saying.
Pitter day.
We got to get rid of PIDs.
What time do the
Rapids.
What time do the PIDs play?
Up the PIDs, bro.
PIDs are pitting at 7 p.m. today.
You want to drink some like Strongbow ciders and watch the game?
That sounds actually very entertaining.
I do. You ever just like watch some footy and drink a Strongbow cider?
Literally never to either of those things.
You should try it. It's good.
I like me some footy, but yeah.
Derek says, you guys are awesome, and I appreciate the coverage. I listen on the daily.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys so much. All right, first comment here on the website. You can subscribe, become a member at thednvr.com to leave comments right here on the website, and we'll read them all. Big Hank Stan says, pizza bet, Zach? He's not here, but we'll decide if he's taking this or not.
Yes.
I contend that Judy will have fewer than 1,000 yards receiving, does not count rushing or return yards. That is all. Love, Hank Stan. Zach should take this bet.
I think Zach should.
What do you think? Zach would have the over on the bet? Oh, yeah. Zach, take that bet.
All right. Zach took the bet. Good job, Zach.
Took the bet. He's going to hate us.
Big Hank Stan again. If Anderson plays well against the Cowboys, can he cement the job? Love Hank Stan. No.
It's Billy Turner's good at football. Billy Turner is really good at football. Calvin Anderson, solid at football.
Also, but Billy Turner, huge human.
It's unbelievable.
And he looks thin for an offensive lineman, but huge.
Yep.
Exactly. Like
athletic and just burly.
That's the offense that they're running.
Go play basketball, What is he thinking? Right.
You wouldn't have to deal with these injuries.
No.
No. It's going to be a no. For me.
Okay.
Okay.
You wouldn't sign.
He does have the fashion sense of like a basketball player though.
Yeah, he should be the Nuggets power forward.
An interesting thought. Micah Pexa probably has an interesting thought too. He says, if you can only bring one of our 9 Hall of Fame players in their prime, and put him on the current team, who are you choosing? Your options? John Elway, Gary Zimmerman, Floyd Little, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, Champ Bailey, Peyton Manning, Steve Atwater, John Lynch.
Oh man.
Okay, so there's a couple things here.
Oh, yeah.
To me, if you could ever or upgrade your quarterback position, you have to do it.
Fair.
So you just take Peyton Manning.
Oh, Peyton Manning, all right.
In my opinion, especially in today's NFL, I would say that's the move. But I'm going to take that out because I don't think that's as fun.
That's fair.
And I would say if you combined Champ Bailey,
dude, I was gonna get there.
I just don't think anyone could throw the ball. And in this division where everyone doesn't even carry running backs, basically, that would be just it would be impossible.
Impossible.
Like Pat Surtain, Champ Bailey, and Justin Simmons on the same field. Enough. Like where could you throw it?
That's absolutely the answer.
I'd go Shannon Sharp.
Ooh.
I think that would immediately kind of how we were feeling with Tim Patrick healthy, that's, I think, it would get back to that. It's like,
except better.
Although Alberto had a really good practice today.
I thought
it was his best. Maybe not his best, but at least, I was seeing him get the ball a lot.
Well, and Albert Breer was out here a couple days ago. He was at practice. You know, when Albert Breer or Ian Rappaport or any of those big guys come in, you know, they hang out with George Payton on the sideline. They get a chance to talk with Nathaniel Hackett for a few minutes after the press conference. Those sorts of things.
Big time, Zach.
Exactly. Oh, yes, they do.
They get fake phone calls.
I wonder why they did that.
I should have gotten a press pass that day because I totally would have tried to put him on the spot again.
Do it again.
The point is, though, Albert Breer, when he was writing about the Broncos, it was basically just 5 bullet points. One of them was that Albert O has become a much, much better blocker, which is not something that's easy to tell during practice, just the way they're set up. But that means that somebody told him that.
Fair.
And I don't think
I'm sensing some Albert bias.
I don't think they do that.
You don't think Alberts are biased towards other Alberts?
Oh, that kind of Albert bias.
Albert B and Albert O.
No.
Okay. All right.
No. No. All
right, fair enough. He's thinking about it. I think it's pretty hard to notice a tight end blocking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of these run plays are not even going full speed. Like, it's kind of weird. They, like, all pull up after 1 yard. Speaking of full speed run plays, how about Bradley Chubb absolutely de-cleating Javonte Williams today?
Oh, wow.
They ran, like,
I didn't see this.
Okay, so, yeah, that would make sense considering my view is so much better than you guys. They line up Melvin next to Russ in the shotgun. Javonte lined up in the slot. He comes in motion, gets the pop pass, and like the second he catches it, Bradley Chubb is through the line and just runs right into him, and he just like goes flying. And like, it takes a lot to make Javonte Williams go flying, but he like didn't. He barely had time to catch the ball before Bradley Chubb gave him like a half shoulder. But it was just like he was moving so fast that he just. Yeah.
And we talked about the Jerry kind of over route, I think.
Yep.
We get to the sideline, Russ hits him. I mean, that's Bradley Chubb was in the backfield, probably got that sack. Again, it's so nice not to be able to say for sure a sack.
But which over, like, not the wheel.
No.
Okay.
The, like, true over first route. One. Yeah. The
early in practice.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And then Bradley was dancing. He danced 20 yards downfield.
He has the most fun.
I know. And he did a little lap around Russell Wilson, would like run down there to give a high five or something. But he ran down and did like a little dance. And
do you see him at the beginning of practice when the defense is running over from the end of the field and the fans are clapping? No. So the fans all get hype. Bradley just starts like rolling. He like gets down on the ground, does like a somersault. He did like one somersault. The crowd goes nuts. And he like does it again. Bradley has so much fun at practice.
I know. That was a good crowd today. That was definitely the most electric crowd. Yeah,
it thinned out, and I understand why, because that was miserable on that hill. But when we got there, I would say, other than Back Together Saturday, biggest crowd yet.
All right. Sir James comes in, I must speak up and come to the defense of my fellow knighted brethren after the malicious attack from RK.
Yes.
Us sirs together we ride. Do you guys think Sir James is actually knighted?
Yes.
You believe that?
I don't think he'd claim it. You don't come with this kind of passion if you're not directly
knighted. You
don't
get without people knowing who you are.
Ooh.
And you would absolutely have a last name.
You only Sir get
James.
Knighted.
Sir James something. I feel like James Bond.
Half
yes,
of everybody
fine,
named
but...
James is probably knighted. No. Given that's probably the most, that's probably the most knighted name.
Enough.
Most knighted name is James.
Not Boris or...
No, that's a new one. That's that one guy that you're thinking of.
James.
Boris Diaw got knighted. He didn't.
Everyone gets knighted.
Named James.
That's my problem with
Real
it.
Quick, do you know? You say everybody knows when you're knighted, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who James Galway is?
Yeah, of course. Yes,
of course.
Tell me what he does.
He's an actor.
He's a knight.
Ooh, good one.
Yes. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, dude. Of course.
He's acting flautist. Like a flutist.
Is it flautist?
Dude, he got knighted for being a flutist. Yeah, that's what we were saying, man.
So you're saying
that's James.
Flautist.
James, if you're playing the violin,
flutist,
we take it back.
Nudist, whatever you are, you're getting knighted. He goes on the topic of adopting other teams, I have long since had a rooting interest in the Steelers as they were my dad's favorite team. There were years where our two teams played each other, and it was always so much fun, especially the Tebow playoff game. Keep up the great work, as always, my guys. This is where I like really flex my Colorado native status, where like everyone in my family is just fans of Denver teams.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like I don't. Okay. I can't be like, oh, like my dad was that. No. If you're here,
is there a team you like watching other than the Broncos? Like if by week, is there a team like, you know what, I want to watch?
I said this the other day. It's just like the Eagles for Allie.
Okay,
That was fun when they won the Super Bowl, but I don't.
You're not emotionally invested.
The big point was
else.
Like I wouldn't listen to a podcast about the Eagles. Like, okay, that's where I like.
That's a fair point.
If you are listening to podcasts about a team, like you got to really
then
care
the Bears.
Yeah,
I think I might have a step cousin whose husband is like half Cowboys.
That doesn't
half
count.
Broncos.
How does that even?
Then I'm all Broncos. It's all Denver.
I have a step cousin whose husband half is
cowboy.
Half Cowboy.
I'm 137th Cowboy.
I know, it's a little concerning though.
All right, here it is, Big Tony.
Oh, Big Tony.
Who actually didn't even mention anything about what he did. So we'll get to his comment first. But he said, my boys, no question today. Just two words. Montrell Washington. Big Tony out. And we know he was at practice. So that's what he's reacting to. And the reason we know that is because as I was walking out of practice, he came up to me and said, hey, I've got those cornhole boards for you. But I didn't even know what he was talking about because I wasn't on the show yesterday when you guys solved the what was that? What do you call that? Wordle, I guess we'll call
what
it.
What
was it?
Like a hangman?
Yeah,
what was that it? The game? Cornhole boards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Big Tony, in the back of his car, had two sets of huge cornhole boards for us that he'd painted custom DNVR. They're absolutely sick. And that will be one of the things that we have at our upgraded tailgate this year, which is sick.
You know you made it when you got your own cornhole boards. That's dope. DNVR is
new life goal.
Well, I feel like by proxy, you get to claim this one.
Henry Chisholm.
With my
dude, I see this guy on TikTok who's like a pro cornhole player, or he's an aspiring pro. It's actually very fun to follow his like coming of age story in the cornhole ranks.
TikTok sounds like a wild place.
It's sick. It's so good.
It sounds terrible.
It is a great place for content.
Perfectly to what you want to see.
Yeah,
you want to see cornhole.
Golf,
but people just show up and be things. Like, "Yeah, I was reading about Iranian whatever on TikTok last night."
If anything seems like intense or like real in any way, like, "Oh, this is like a thing I have to think about." Boom, quick scroll.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's what RK does with most reality.
No, it really is. That's not even a joke. How I live my life, I just avoid everything real unless I absolutely have to address it. Anyways. I forget where I was going. Oh, people in the comments would be like, dude, what bags do you use? Like, they want to know like the exact specifications and weight and everything of the bags that this guy uses.
We gotta get the bags right.
Also, he's not a pro yet, and I just don't understand how. Like, he never misses. It's insane.
Are there pro?
How are there people that are better than this guy?
There's pro cornhole.
There is. Okay. Yes.
How many pro cornhole players can there be though?
Hundreds.
Like, there's that much money in the sport to sustain hundreds?
Well, if you think you know, let's just say you have a $50,000 purse for winning a tournament.
Okay.
Like, people are competing in that.
Are cornhole players athletes?
Yes.
No. No, 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 no.
Yes.
No, no, no.
So are dartists.
Okay. No. No, no, no.
Do we have any more comments?
golfers?
No.
Bowlers?
No. What? No.
Bowlers are F1
drivers.
Are F1 drivers athletes?
No.
Nah, I can't
say.
That's going to be so
controversial.
They're just drivers.
They are not the tool. That's a fair point.
Your body has to be the tool.
Okay, so golfers are in.
Golfers I might give athlete to. I don't know.
John Daly?
He's not.
What about that Bartolo Colon? Like,
I mean, I think it... I think we're pointing out that it may just be the person.
Why are you guys targeting fat guys?
I think John Daly gets more credit for being able to do all that stuff while like smoking cigs and drinking beers and Diet Coke.
Tony Finau broke his ankle celebrating a hole-in-one, right? So that's
true. That's not athletic, for sure.
But
the whole lung kickers have injured their ACL celebrating Gramatica. Field goals. But would we call kickers athletes? Are kickers even people, RK?
I'm pretty low on kickers.
What about Brandon McMahon is with the mustache?
No, he threw his helmet once. I'm out. He'll never get me back.
Okay.
Kickers
because he didn't get a 70-yard attempt.
Yes. Oh, kickers lovely. Not allowed to throw their helmet.
Man.
It's a hard and fast rule for me.
Wow.
I really thought RG was calling John Daly.
Wow.
Because he's the tool.
Oh, yes. Sorry. But, yeah.
That's how I interpreted that.
All right. I'm saying everyone's an athlete. Cornhole, darts, golf, bowling, F1.
Makes you an athlete.
Yep.
You could definitely get, like, the athlete Instagram page.
I don't know cornhole. What that is.
Like, I mean, it's like Ryan Konigsberg, athlete.
Oh, I'm going to try and get that under my name.
I mean, just play a little bit cornhole.
You've got
I guess
cup.
You can.
Yeah, I mean,
you got a cup, you've celebrated.
I'm outside, I'm hot, I'm sweating.
Wow.
All those things add up to me being an athlete.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right. I got to think on athletes.
All right. That's all we have in the comments. That's all we have for today. Hit us with a thumbs up on your way. I appreciate that. Also, keep bringing in those 5-star reviews on iTunes. They mean the world to us. For RG and Hank, I'm RK, and we will talk to you guys Monday. No Broncos practice tomorrow.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.